One of the greatest worries for parents of children on the autism spectrum is whether they'll ever be able to live on their own when parents and siblings are no longer around to either help or care for them entirely. Later this year, the Valley will open its first project devoted to giving adults with autism a place to live in a mostly independent way and make that vital transition. The project is called First Place Phoenix. It includes a 55-unit apartment community, along with a transition academy, for participants in a 2-year program. To learn more, I'm joined by Denise Resnick. She's the founder, president, and CEO at First Place AZ. She also has a 26-year-old son with autism. Denise, how challenging is it to find housing for autistic adults trying to live independently?
The first biggest challenge is the segmentation, and that we really don't have segmentation for what we refer to as autism spectrum disorders. You can think about this very similarly to senior housing. So imagine where we were 50 years ago in this state when Del Webb had the idea of creating Sun City, and that was one option for retirement housing. And now you look around today at all the different locations and price points, amenities, services. Well, same is true for housing for special populations. Autism really doesn't define what a person needs in terms of housing, but what does define what they need are their characteristics, their features, their abilities, and some of their disabilities. And that's what we need to look at, and that's what we don't have yet.
What are some of the challenges in terms of deciding? Is it, to some extent, going to be a little trial and error at this point?
After nearly 2 decades, I hope we have taken the error out of trial and error.
Okay.
But we have been evaluating over 100 different residential properties across the country for years in collaboration with Arizona State University, with the Urban Land Institute, and collaborating partners everywhere. And what we found is that there were some very good models out there, but none that were truly replicable, scalable, financially sustainable, or would fit within the fabric of communities, whether they were urban, rural, or suburban. Mm-hmm. And that's where we set our sights. We wanted to create something that could actually be found in communities everywhere. And one of the biggest challenges that we faced early on was that we wanted to create something for everyone. And we know there's no such housing product. There is not a one-size-fits-all in this space.
So what are some of the offerings then? Because you mentioned senior housing, and that makes me think of late-life housing, when you have one area for folks who might need a little bit of assistance, one that's more medical, one for folks who are losing their memory. Is this the type of place that can somehow cater to all these different types of challenges for those who have autism?
When you think about First Place, in some ways you might be able to think about senior housing in reverse. You know, many people in senior housing start with independent living, then semi-skilled, then nursing. Well, we're not starting with nursing, but we are starting with more intense supports, because early in adult life, what we want to be able to demonstrate is how we can help individuals to live more independently or interdependently, but away from their family home. I'll never forget a front page Wall Street Journal story I read in 2006, and it was about 50-year-old Tim Tullis and his 80-something-year-old dad. And mom had died 5 years earlier, and every day dad got him ready to go to his vocational program. And the big question was, what are we doing with our aging adults with disabilities and their aging parents? Well, a few months later, another front page story. This time, Tim came home from his vocational program and dad wasn't there. And I remember sobbing as I continued to read the story and thinking about this man in adult life who never knew another home now had to restructure his life, and his sister was not prepared to care for him. And so when I think about that and I think about what we have in our community here in Phoenix, which is aware and accepting and diverse and collaborative, that we have all the ingredients to demonstrate what housing for different populations and special populations can look like. And through all the research that we've done, we know that families don't just want the four walls of a home. They want to know, what are they going to do all day? Where are they going to work and worship? And where are they going to go shopping and recreate and find their friends and live their lives?
Caregiving is an issue for the senior population because training is hit or miss. How does that play in here?
That is a universal concern for senior housing and for the type of housing we're talking about. Truly, that is the largest obstacle standing in our way of being able to create more housing for special populations. There is anywhere from a 60 to 80% turnover of direct support service providers. Mm-hmm. We don't train them well. Unfortunately, we don't pay them well. And it's really because of their own perseverance and their big hearts that they stay with this. So imagine if we could create more positive environments for where these people can work and where they can continue to learn and where they can continue to earn. Because if we can help individuals to become more independent earlier in adult life, mm-hmm. then we all gain. And hopefully that's a better bottom line for them too in terms of what they get paid and also how they feel at the end of the day.
What kind of support have you had to find for this? Is this something that once people know about it and they know of your history that they embrace it?
We have enjoyed tremendous support from this community and from others outside of our state. This is truly a public, private, nonprofit, and philanthropic collaboration. Mm-hmm. In all the research that we've done, we did find those lovely models, some 100% backed by philanthropy, others 100% backed by government, neither of which are truly replicable.
So when you think about 26 years ago and the awareness that people have now, how different would it be for you to be a new mom now as opposed to 26 years ago?
So now you're going to make me cry. When I think about what we were told 24 years ago, after his diagnosis, and looking at our gorgeous little 2-year-old son and being told to love, accept, and institutionalize him, and setting the bar so low and having someone take away our hope for the future, that was devastating. And today, when I think about families receiving a diagnosis of autism, they can also look out at our community and can see that individuals with autism are learning, and they're working, and they're volunteering, and they have friends, and now they're going to have more home options in terms of where they can live their adult lives.
Denise Resnick is founder, president, and CEO of First Place AZ. We've been talking about the new apartment community, First Place Phoenix, for adults with autism.